from the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fan, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, Blues Day Recap, talking all sports in this fall edition of 2020. It's been a minute since we did one of these. We haven't had done one of these since the start of COVID back in March, back in the spring. A whole lot of things is different with sports since the last time we did this 6 months ago. A lot of things going on as far as the completion of sports, the NHL, the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, boxing, college football, all that on the table. I think we're at a good position. Of course, Apple Tunes Podcast for Public Tuning, Stitcher, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, all that good stuff for the Bleed Blue Show. If you want to download episodes on the go to hear fans talk sports every day. But I want to say, as far as the hoops, the NBA, we had NBA champion, the Lakers, for the 17th time in their franchise history, winning an NBA championship. That's nothing new. I've probably been around since watching basketball. They've won at least about nine championships since I've been watching basketball. And you know, let's give credit to LeBron James as far as winning his fourth championship, a third championship with a third different team. I don't take nothing for granted from the bubble. I think it's still an amazing accomplishment. I know a lot of people were rubbed off as far as watching games in the bubble, but to say to win a championship on three different teams, I still think it's a hell of an accomplishment. And they pretty much, you know, thought what we said with Dom on the Bleed Blue Show on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. I said the Lakers were going to win in six. They won in six. So congratulations to them. Excellent moves in the offseason before to get Anthony Davis, made their pieces. You know, they traded a lot of that youth and draft picks, and it was well worth it because that's a franchise that's used to winning NBA championships. And I know all the things that would happen with Kobe Bryant, died in January. So, you know, that franchise, I think it was deservedly so. I know a lot of basketball fans, especially on Twitter, social media, just in general, just, you know, water cooler talk, barbershop talk as far as did the Lakers really earn it? Did they deserve it? I will say they did. I think they definitely deserved it because 16 teams went to the bubble. They were all in the same predicament, same situation. Nobody had a real, true, quote-unquote home court advantage, and they played the best. Although we said going into the bubble that they were – struggling defensively. I thought as the season went on within the regular season bubble and the start of the playoffs, they would definitely play better, and they did. So congratulations to Lakers. Who knows when the NBA is going to really start back up again. We don't know when that's going to happen. But as far as the 2019-2020 season and the ups and downs we've had with sports in general, I think it was well-deserved as far as them winning the championship. I really do. I'll say this because as far as the baseball, I'm all out. You know, we already know Yankees. We're Yankees fans. I'm done. I don't care between the Houston Astros. I don't care about the Tampa Bay Rays right now. Los Angeles Dodgers, Atlanta Braves. I don't care no more. I'm off the baseball, kind of frustrated, furious with how that went down with our Yankees. But good luck to the Final Four teams. I will not be watching as far as the baseball, as far as the World Series, the League Championship Series and the World Series in Texas. I'm good, man. So if the Astros, I think they want to stick it to everybody. I'll say that because after all the heat they've taken last year with banging on trash cans and cheating and stealing signs and digitalized cheating for the most part, I think they want to stick it to all the fans and everybody who are not Astro fans on winning a championship. I think that's kind of the way I'm taking it for the Houston Astros. As far as the NFL, you know, this it's been a weird season because they don't do the bubble situation. They do not do what, quote-unquote, what the NBA and the NHL did. The NBA, obviously in Orlando at the Walt Disney World Resorts, and, of course, in the NHL with the two bubble cities in Edmonton and Toronto, where the NFL are playing all their games in the regular stadiums, which is fine. But then some of these COVID tests are popping up, so teams are kind of having delay of games as far as pushing games back. Like even this week, you have the Bills-Titans game on a Tuesday, which is fine for me because I don't have nothing else to do on a Tuesday except talk hockey with Ranger Prowl. But as far as watching the NFL, watching game action, there's no games on, and you get to see I would think a pretty good game between the Bills and the Titans, and whoever wins it, the best team win. But there's, you know, you've had in the beginning of the COVID, you saw it on Hard Knocks with the Rams and the Chargers, guys getting tested positive for the COVID. You've seen guys, teams cautious with all the constant testing, which is pretty much fine. I have no problem with that. But it's all about the assets of getting through a 2020 regular season. Now, which I thought and believe the NFL are doing the right thing. Do not post these games. I know they're taking a revenue hit. Fans can't really attend most of the stadiums, depending on the state. But I think they're doing an excellent job as far as coming together and making it happen for whatever fans that could attend games, whether it's in Florida, Texas. I think there's some games going on in Ohio with Cleveland and Cincinnati. Some fans are able to attend games, and that's a good thing. I really do. But I just say that the NFL, the recovery, I think the quality of games have been all right. Some of them are bad. I know a lot of guys have been getting injured around the league. A lot of the star players, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, now Dak Prescott. So there's a lot of risk, of course, playing in the NFL, playing football. And without a strong preseason, without a strong training camp, but injuries are doomed, of course, current to happen. So a lot of the things don't surprise me. As far as the NFL, we all know the NFC East was not going to be a good division. The Packers are kind of all where they are, and they're coming off the bye week. As far as the NFC West, we've all believed that was going to be the most competitive division in the NFL. And because obviously they've been correctly built from the inside out. All four teams are very competitive. The Cardinals, the Seahawks, the Rams, those teams have been playing fantastic football. And I think sometimes a lot of fans definitely do sleep on some of these teams because maybe they have taken a step back from Super Bowl hangovers. I know the 49ers had a bad week, but I thought with all their injury history they've had the last couple of games, I thought they've been playing pretty well, man. They won the games they were supposed to. They had a little thud yesterday versus Miami. But overall, man, NFL has been pretty decent football, and I saw some of the highlights, and I didn't see the game as it happened on Sunday night versus the Vikings and the Seahawks. I did not see that live, but I'll tell you this, man. I believe, Russell Wilson is probably an NFL MVP candidate. That last drive was fantastic. I did see the highlights on that. I want to really go back and watch the game and really grasp it for what I saw. I was a little bit mad after our game with the Giants, but watching the highlights of the Seahawks-Viking game, just to come back, it's just competitive teams. I'm really going to pay a lot of attention to the teams in the NFC West. I really am. I'm really going to watch these rivalry games. Whenever the Cardinals play, like we saw week one when they played the 49ers, I want to see them when they play the Rams and they play the Seahawks. And everybody play each other because those division games are going to really, really matter. As far as the AFC, if anybody gives me a surprise, the Bills don't surprise me. I know Bill O'Brien was fired from the Texans, and I think everybody can agree with that as far as the rough start. Now, if you have a knockout pool, as I do, I'm in one of the knockout pools, the Kansas City Chiefs losing to the Raiders, so I'm out in one league. I think that would be the KGYR league. Was really disappointed in that because you would think the Super Bowl champs would carry my way. Man, Kansas City, what's going on, man? I thought y'all had my back. I used you guys. I waited a little bit, and you kind of burnt me with the Raiders pick. All right, whatever. I don't care as far as the AFC. Vegas, the Chargers, the Broncos are okay. But, I think Von Miller being hurt, especially that last preseason practice, that really set that team back. They were not ready for that type of injury, his Achilles, him going out for the season with Von Miller. Vegas, some nights look good because we saw them play well versus the Saints on Monday Night Football. Derek Carr has looked good and played against the Chiefs very good. I think year two of the John Gruden experiment has pretty much gone well. I give him kudos to that. Usually we all believe in the AFC West is really the Chiefs' division to lose. I think we can all agree to that. The Chiefs are probably not going to lose that division. And it's suspected that no teams are not going to really go 16-0. But they have a lot of firepower on offense. The rookie running back from LSU, Edwards-Helaire, Travis Kelce, and you got the wide receivers on the outside with Hill, and of course Sammy Watkins, and of course Patrick Mahomes. I mean, and they got a serviceable defense, especially on the D line, and especially in the back end with the corner, with the safety, with Matthew. So yeah, they have the pieces to repeat and make another Super Bowl run. And you know, I think also before I get into around the other teams, I think the home field, and I heard a stakeholder say this on one of our other podcasts, that it may not be necessarily an advantage, but to one of those teams that may give a one or two game difference as far as home crowd and beating up crowd noise and snap counts. So, yeah, the NFL, without these fans, it hasn't been too much of a difference. I think at the most part, the better team is winning. I really do believe that. I think the better team is definitely winning at the end of the day, whether the home, the crowd is there or they're not there. But the bigger picture as far as a fan level, because I always speak from a fan level perspective first, I really do enjoy the fact that fans are able to attend games. And if they can, if they're blessed to make it and, you know, go there with your requirements, wear your face mask, whether it's college or pro, either or, man, because you don't want to shut down life as we know it. We don't want to have every game being an empty stadium, which is kind of weird in itself, watching it on TV. Even watching the games with 25% capacity, it's still kind of weird to watch for the most part. But I don't, I enjoy even watching even with some of the fans in attendance, because a lot of these fans are going out of their way to make the most of the situation. And I can respect that. I definitely can. But as far as the AFC, I'm going through the divisions. In the AFC South, you know, the Colts, which my team on fantasy defense, the Colts, I really believe I had them winning the division, because I think they were a real balanced team. I know they added Phillip Rivers, and they struggled early on and out of the gate versus Jacksonville. I think that caught a lot of people by surprise, burnt a lot of people in their survivor pools. But I think well-rounded defense, and a very efficient offensive line, a good running game, even though they lost their running back for the year, but because you drafted Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin, you are able to not miss a step. He's a guy who's going to be able to carry both of their carries and get the job done. In the AFC East, the Patriots, I think they played better than what I thought. You don't expect them. Like, a lot of people hate the Patriots for a lot of the success, and it's a Boston thing. I get that. But overall, objectively looking at how they played football up until this point, they played the Seattle game pretty well. They had a nice opening day win versus the Dolphins. I thought Cam Newton played well, running the ball. Matter of fact, Josh McDaniels catering the playbook towards him, his style. Can't really be mad at that. So as far as the NFL and the AFC East, it's the Bills' division to win. I think the Cleveland Browns are showing everybody that, that weird the year one in 2019, everybody bought into the hype. A lot of fans in Cleveland was loving the fact that they had all these new pieces, but they didn't really have nothing on the line. And now they're out with Nick Chubb. Now they don't have Nick Chubb. They're running with the backups, running with the rookie. Odell Beckham Jr. has had pretty good games. Landry hasn't really been a factor, but they've played very good football. They had a nice win Thursday night football over the Cincinnati Bengals, and they have been able to carry that even the game versus the Colts just recently. So I look at the Cleveland Browns, the Baltimore Ravens, who are having a good season. I know they had the thud. I wouldn't say the thud, but they a game I think they really wanted Monday night versus the Kansas City Chiefs a couple of weeks ago. They did not get that off. I think the Ravens at the end of the day, we all can agree for the most part, they're going to win the division. I think Cleveland's going to get a wild card berth out of it. Pittsburgh has played well too. There's a lot of teams that's going to be able to compete in the AFC North. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cleveland, very, very good teams, man. Very, very good teams. And also Cincinnati, they're not a slouch. I know they've kind of stumbled rookie quarterback Joe Burrow, Ad Mixon, who got the big contract. It's going to take some time for those players to come together under the second-year coach, Taylor. So we'll see how it's going to go in the AFC North as well. But I think overall the NFL is making the most out of it, and I enjoy the games. The new stadiums have been phenomenal, SoFi Stadium in L.A. Although they can't have fans, they haven't had fans at the game. The new stadium in Las Vegas, stadiums across the league in Atlanta, Minnesota, the newer ones. Of course, the tailgate experience, you can go down to Florida, however you do as far as the games down in Miami, Jacksonville, and Tampa Bay, and especially the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think everybody's been keeping an eye out on as far as expecting them to win, and everybody was giving Tom Brady a lot of flack of how that game ended Thursday night versus the Bears. The Bucs are going to be fine. I think they're probably going to – I picked the Saints to win that division, but I think the Bucs are going to make it competitive. The Saints, with Kamara, a fantasy stat, Patter, gets you – and for whatever reason, does not get a lot of touches. On that team, he could get more. So Sean Payton, if you hear me out there, give Alvin Kamara more touches. Now I know Michael Thomas is hurt, coming off an injury. Breeze has a little bit left in the tank to get the job done. They have Taysom Hill to use these gadget plays. A fun division with the Saints, the Bucks. I know the Panthers have been on a nice little winning streak. They beat the Falcons, and the Falcons are kind of right now 0-5. That's kind of surprising. I know they left some games on the table, like losing to Dallas and that freak onside kick that did not recover. Going 0-5, I'm pretty sure a lot of fans are very upset how they've gone. I think the Panthers are actually doing better than what they're expecting. I think the Bucs are kind of where they need to be as far as expectations and as far as the Saints. So you were talking about the NFC East. It's all banged up with the Eagles, the Giants, the Redskins, the Cowboys. The North, I think it's the Packers division to win or to lose, for that matter. The Vikings, and the Bears have played well since with Nick Foles as well. We got to give them credit too. The Bears always had a solid defense. The nice win in Atlanta, a nice win Thursday night football over the Bucks. They added Nick Foles to get the job done to execute extra possessions. So that is my opinion on the NFL. Now, college football, I think we all can agree. We all love the small divisions. We like the HBCU conferences. We love Division II, even Division III, for what the product they put in, the heart they put in as far as in between their studies and competition, because they don't do it for a paycheck. It's all about skill and even trying to get to the next league depending on who you are. But as far as college football, we all know most people, if you're on the outside, you don't have a team or an alumni, you're pretty much going to go for the ACC, the Big 12, and the SEC. Those are the main three conferences that are must-see, must-watch football. This season, or even this Saturday coming up, I think it's one of the biggest – I mean, it's obviously always a big game when they play in the SEC, even if it happens to be a regular season game. But when Alabama and Georgia are meeting in the regular season and they're high as ranked and talented as they are, I mean, this is must-watch television on Saturday when they square off. I think we all remember the national championship game when they played and when Tua came off the bench and pretty much willed their way to beating the Georgia Bulldogs. But Alabama-Georgia on Saturday is going to be must-watch TV. I even will say the Red River Shootout in the Big 12, Texas-Oklahoma, that four overtime game was something to watch. I'm kind of kicking myself as far as not biting a bullet on really watching that in person like I should have. As far as Texas-Oklahoma, a fantastic game. Despite the conditions, the fans were out there with their masks, socially distanced, loved everything that they had as far as Texas-Oklahoma. Obviously, these Big 12 teams don't ever play no defense, so we all know that, but college football and the Big Ten coming back soon, so we're going to see Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, Maryland. So we're looking forward to the Big Ten return soon. But so far, the SEC has been phenomenal to watch, watching Florida's offense. They have a lot of weapons. They'll try to outscore you. I think Tennessee is a nice team to watch, even though they took a loss to Georgia, but I saw that game versus South Carolina. Very good college football in the SEC, both in the West, Auburn games, when they play Kentucky. Everybody, A&M, Alabama, of course, so the big game, Alabama and Georgia, is going to be seeded positions on these teams in the SEC. We all know everybody talks about Clemson, and I think Miami's had a very good season and blowing out Florida State in the ACC. the ACC, not as top-heavy or as deep or a gauntlet like the SEC like most seasons, but we really want to see some of these teams in competition versus cross-conference, and that's the only thing that you don't get in this 2020 COVID college football season because a lot of these conferences don't necessarily play each other. But I think it's been a good product, man. I really enjoy talking college football with a lot of college football podcasters, college football fans, the perspective of all players who are doing good on the come up, probably going to hit the NFL. So, yeah, love everything about it, man. So, college football, be on the lookout for a lot of these games, the Big Ten returning and all that, man. And then last but not least, a sport I definitely dearly love is the sport of boxing, all right? And one fight we've been waiting for pretty much all of 2020 because a lot of their fights have been in the that bubble in Las Vegas. I really believe the UFC has ran away with the combat fighting aspect as far as viewership because they damn near have fights every week. They damn near have a pay-per-view every other 2-3 weeks. It's always something to watch on a Saturday with the UFC. But in boxing this week, you're getting a treat. You're getting a hell of a treat with, I believe, is one of the must-see fights of the year, obviously, when Lomachenko goes up against Lopez. I think that's two styles that on a collision course, one guy, Teofimo Perez, a New York City guy, talks a lot of shit, but he could back it up. Versus Lomachenko, a Ukrainian, very skilled, excellent footwork, precision, calculated boxer. Style makes fights. You have a very extravagant, outgoing showman in Teofimo Perez versus Lomachenko. I can't wait for this fight on Saturday. It's all lined up on Saturday the way everything is breaking down. Now, if you're into the baseball, you're probably going to watch the baseball. I'm not going to watch the baseball. If you're into college football, you're going to watch games all the way from noon through the Georgia-Alabama game. But if you're like me, you like the UFC and you love boxing, yeah, you got to find a way sometime during the day to get a nap in because it's nothing but fights. It's nothing but competition in sports all day. This is probably the best sports Saturday of 2020. I am looking forward to the Teofimo Perez fight. Who do I think is going to win? Now, you know, this is one of where the politics comes in. This is where Bob Arum, who's the promoter, this is an ESPN fight. This is a top-ranked thing. They're going to find a way to maximize money. You can't get a lot of that ticket money through the door, and you hate to play backdoor curtain politics as far as fights, but a lot of this happens to be the case. Maybe some guys tank it, or maybe a judge here and there misscores the fight for what we see. It probably could be a split decision. You know, if I was to bet on this fight, my heart wants Perez to win. I love how he fights. I love how he carries himself. I love his confidence. I love his knockout power, his attitude, you know, how he shows off. I love it. I love it all. But as far as what I think as far as skilled boxer, Lomachenko, I think, will probably win in points, probably will go the distance. I think maybe one judge may fuck it up. It may come down to that. I think it's just as simple as that. But boxing, I think, overall has been hurt by the sport because a lot of the big fights that we expected to see in 2020 did not carry over from 2019 because of the COVID situation. The money is not adding up right. A lot of people don't want to fight for the person, rightfully so. The shit is a business, it's an independent contractor. You want to make the most out of the best bouts you can get. And I think we saw the Charlo brothers fight a couple of weeks ago, and they've done well up in the 147, 154 range, and then up in the 160 range as well as far as competition. But a lot of these fights have been left on the table. And I think a guy who I really loved before he got into his accident really benefited as far as the COVID situation, as far as his recovery and not missing a beat as far as fighting, is Errol Spence. I think Errol Spence is, when he fights Danny Garcia, I expect him to beat him, but Danny Garcia last time we saw him fight, he had a nice win, a nice comeback, I would call it a comeback, a nice tune-up win to get back to a fight where he desperately needs to be winning in the competition in 147 in that loaded welterweight division. But I say all this to say, as far as spring sports, man, we have gotten to a point where we're finally watching sports as the best way we can as far as No fans in the seats. The games have been pretty good in my estimation as far as watching it on the game. I don't think it hasn't been too terrible, pro or college. I enjoyed it. I want to understand how the return of basketball is going to be, college basketball or the NBA, NHL after 2020, after the new year. But a college football, another conference coming back into play, I ain't there to enjoy. So definitely the Bleed Blue Show on Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and the Bleed Blue Show video episodes as well. Look forward to talking with the fans. Spring 2020 episode. Sandra Asu, ladies and gentlemen, Bleed Blue. Enjoy the rest of your week. Sandra Asu, ladies and gentlemen, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.